Thank you, John, for filling in this morning. I owe John an apology because I think he felt the way I felt one Sunday when Harry had me read Scripture and he had an NIV and I knew it King James by heart, and every time I looked up I changed which translation I was speaking. So since I was speaking this morning, I requested King James. So John caught me in a hall this morning. Oh, so you're going to make me read King James this morning. So my apologies, John, for having you read King James this morning, but I appreciate you doing it for me. Well, have you ever had a point in time where you stood somewhere and saw something totally magnificent and just stood there and drank it in? Anybody have stories like that? I started making a short list of mine, and you're going to notice something right up front. The first several will give you an idea. The first time I ever saw in person the USS Kitty Hawk aircraft carrier. Have any of you seen an aircraft carrier in person? It is spectacular. Judy and I were in Pearl Harbor, and the Kitty Hawk came in, and they were docking it, and we got a chance to see that. B-52 Stratofortress. Anybody know what the B-52 Stratofortress is? High-altitude bomber. I saw one at Robins Air Force Base. Just to see these things were just outstanding, just incredible. And then, of course, they've been decommissioned now, but the Discovery Space Shuttle. If you have not been to the Smithsonian Museum out by Dulles Airport, you need to make a day of it and go see the shuttle. Just amazing that something like that went into space X number of times and came back. Just spectacular. The equipment, the technology that got it there. And then, of course, one of my most favorite airplanes, the SR-71, the spy plane. That's one of my favorite aircraft. They have one of those there. And then if you're ever back in Hawaii, anybody been on the Missouri? The battleship, the Missouri? Absolutely. Just spectacular. Things that man has created. Just amazing. To stand there in kind of an awe and see those things. And then the other night, I was reminded, I took our dog out before we went to bed, and it was dark, and I looked up at the sky, and I saw the stars. And I thought, wow. And it reminded me, when I was in the military, we were in the desert. And if you've been in the desert at night, it is total darkness if there's not a full moon. And the stars you can see. Have any of you ever looked up at the stars in the desert? You cannot count them. There are so many. And yet when we live here on the East Coast, when we see a shooting star, it's a big thing, right? I bet I counted 10 or 20 that night. Because the sky is so dark, you can see everyone come down. Man didn't create that. But once again, just standing there and looking at it. And yet people believe we're happen chance. We just kind of happened in this world. How can people believe that? And then one of my favorites that became my favorites in the last several years is the Grand Canyon. How many of you have seen the Grand Canyon? Isn't it awesome? I mean, I could stand there for days and just look at the Grand Canyon. I don't know how many pictures we took. We took 1,000, but I bet 500 were of the Grand Canyon. But it was just, and it's funny, you get home and you look at the picture, does it really display the majesticness of the Grand Canyon? What is created out of God's nature? It's just mind-boggling when you look at it. And yet, we're still happen chance. Of all the technology I've talked about that we've looked at and that have just kind of stood in awe of things, it's amazing that even with all the advanced camera works that we have today, that when you try to capture the majesty of God and His creation, it's lost. Have you noticed that? I mean, the technology is amazing, but yet it's just not the same as if you see it with your own human eye. What God created us to be able to see with. Just an astounding difference. Yet we think we're great. We've created all these things, and we're great. What if we look about individuals, and I apologize for this, but what if we just look at individual accomplishments? And today being Super Bowl, yeah. I know it's Sunday, but it's also Super Bowl. If you look at people like Peyton Manning, a phenomenal quarterback, all the achievements that he's had at being a quarterback. I mean, it's easy to look at him and marvel about what he's accomplished. Cam Newton, kind of the new kid on the block. Young, agile, aggressive, playing the same game, but playing it differently. Cal Ripken. Anybody remember Cal Ripken? Oh, yeah, you better remember Cal Ripken. From May 1982 to September 1998, only 16 years, he played 2,632 consecutive games. Wow. I don't think I've been to work that many days in a row. 2,632. Babe Ruth, 12-time American League home run champion. First all-time slugging percentage at 69%. 69%. Wow. Michael Jordan, string of 866 regular season games scoring in double figures. Now, I know I'm listing these sports things, and my wife is going, so? So? I should be talking about Bach and Beethoven and, you know. But anyway, I'm speaking. She's not. Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson has won the most Masters golf tournaments. He's won six between the years of 1963 and 1986. Amazing. We look at people like that and we wonder, how did they do it? What do we think about leaders? George Washington. Abraham Lincoln. One of my favorite monuments in D.C. is Abraham Lincoln. It is just so impressive. And the man and what he did and what he accomplished for our country. George Washington being the father. Ronald Reagan as a leader through the Cold War brought the wall down. George W. Bush, Desert Shield, Desert Storm. And then, of course, I'll just say larger than life, Donald Trump. And I'll just leave it at that. What about in the business world, in IT? Anybody heard of Microsoft? Started by Bill Gates. Apple? Started by Steve Jobs. Anybody know who Charles Ranlett Flint is? Charles Ranlett Flint. He was the CEO for a company called Computing Tabulation Recording Company. Anybody know who that was? IBM. He started IBM. And the leader they brought in as they put the company together was Thomas Watson. You notice the Watson commercials on TV. If you wondered where Watson came from, all those IBM commercials about Watson singing and playing music and all this kind of stuff, Watson. Thomas Watson was the general manager, and he became known as the founding father of IBM 104 years ago. Now, there's probably one you don't know, and I had to put it in here this morning, Larry Ellison, who founded Oracle Corporation. Larry started out writing a program for an intelligence community. The name of the program was called Oracle, and he built a company built on Oracle. These individuals are easy to look up to because they've accomplished so many things. And yet, we tend to stand and just look at their lives and all that they've accomplished and just wonder, why didn't I have that idea? You know, I could have done that. I could have done this. If we look at one other area, what about the age of flying in space? I bet everybody knows who Chuck Yeager is. Everybody remember Chuck Yeager? Chuck Yeager was the first man to break the sound barrier. He set a new speed record shortly after that of 1,650 miles an hour, more than twice the speed of sound. If it wasn't for people like Chuck Yeager, we never would have made it to space. President Reagan presented him with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. John Glenn. Now, I know for you all, you're wondering who the heck is John Glenn. I know. Or Chuck Yeager. It's okay. They should still be in your history books. I hope they are. John Glenn was the first American to orbit the Earth, and what was the other main thing about John Glenn? Does anybody know? What? Senator. He's a senator. He's also the oldest American to ever go into space. Remember, he went on a shuttle mission. So the first American into space to orbit the Earth, and the second, the oldest. And then, of course, one I admire, Neil Armstrong. If you've never studied Neil Armstrong, I would suggest you look at his history. First man to dock two vehicles in space, first man to land a craft on the moon, and the first man to step on the moon. And his favorite quote, "That's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind." Of course, you remember it as, "That's one small step for man," right? He actually said, "For a man." Research that. There's a big difference in "for a man." Understanding the creation that God put together. It's easy for us to take people and examples like this and just kind of stand in recognition of who they are. But even if we look at the Old Testament, what are some of the things in the Old Testament today that we look at? What about the plagues of Egypt? Wouldn't you be awe-inspired if you stood there and saw the plagues of Egypt? I contend, my dad and I love having them with me. We get into a number of theological discussions. And he's far more trained than I am. But he and I have talked about the fact that, you know, if only I could have lived in the Old Testament, because if I would have seen all the things that God did to all the people, how could you not have faith? How could you not believe? I think it's harder today. We don't see those things. Those things happen. Do you believe in miracles? Miracles happen today. We don't follow them as much. We don't see them as much significance. The parting of the Red Sea. Wow. And I think Cecil B. DeMille did a pretty good job of that, actually. The parting of the Red Sea. One blast from God's nostrils, that's Charlton Heston's line, and the waters parted. And they crossed on dry land. Dry land. Wasn't muddy. Dry land across the Red Sea. What about water from the rock? Water from the poor Moses. All those people yelling at him every day. I want this, I want that. Why are we here? We could stay here. We could have done it. Finally got fed up and did what? Struck the rock. God said, "Speak to it," and he struck it. I probably would have taken a sledgehammer to it as well with all those people yelling every day about everything. Are you people never hungry? Obey. And then one of my favorite Old Testament stories, I guess probably because after going to the Holy Land and seeing where it took place, was the fire from heaven that burned up the offering against the prophets of Baal. Wow. I got to tell you, that's a moving place if you haven't been there. And seeing that mount and seeing the hill where they slaughtered hundreds of Baal's prophets. They prayed for days. And Elijah just raised his voice. And fire came down. Of course, in the New Testament, there's many more. The water to wine. Walking on water. It's very easy for us as humans to stand in awe of things that we see. Whether we comprehend them or not. I mean, I understand flight. I've taken pilot's license. My dad's a pilot. I understand flight, but dadgum, getting into space and going to the moon is a whole different story. We stand in awe of those things, and we just are in amazement and a wonder. But have you heard the old quote about standing still? If you're standing still, you're backing up. If you're standing still, you're backing up. Life is passing you by. So often we spend a lot of our time standing, not movable, not flowing. What happens to standing water? It becomes stagnant. Just breathing, existing. No movement, no accomplishment. And I think sometimes we get so enamored with standing in awe that we don't apply what we see to our lives. I titled the sermon today, "Standing or Living in Awe," because I think we get so wrapped up in our daily lives that we forget things, we forget God in our lives, and we stand in awe of other people and their accomplishments. Nothing holds a candle to God, to His ability, to what He has done. We can't even comprehend numerous things and qualities about God. Omnipresent. Anybody got that one? Anybody got that one? You know, you got it totally solved? Omniscient. Anybody got that one? There are so many things about God that we don't understand. And we just tend to write off and ignore. If you're ever standing still, you're going backwards. Now, what's the difference between standing and living? Well, the definition of living is what? Not dead. That's what Webster says. If you're living, you're not dead. But it says having life, active, functioning, full of life and vigor. Have you ever met somebody like that? Sometimes they just make you sick. They have so much energy running around. It's usually grandchildren, by the way. But they have so much energy running around, you can't figure out, where did that come from? How did they get that, and why have I lost it? And what can I do to get it back? But a lot of times, our actions and what we do, the full of life, the full of vigor, living is defined by our actions and the way that we do things and the way that we accomplish things. If you were ever in the military, there was a term called military bearing. The veterans in here know exactly what I'm talking about. Your military bearing. How we carry ourselves. How people perceive us. Our look, our uniform, our walking, our standing. The way we sit. Not slouching. But it goes beyond that. It goes into our conduct, our manners, our behavior, the way that we treat people. Military bearing is always conscious of the image that we project and the way that we're perceived. As Christians, we're called that our military bearing be more like Christ. The disciples were the first Christians. Did you know the word Christian is only mentioned 3 times in the Bible? Twice in Acts, and once in 1 Peter. Now, John, I'll give you this one, because in the NIV it might be more than that. But in the King James, it's only mentioned 3 times. Acts 11:26. And when they had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Christians, being Christ-like, our military bearing is to be more like Christ. The way that we act, the way that we conduct ourselves, the way that we behave with others, the patience that we have for those who have no patience. Tapping hopefully into the energy and the vigor of the youth. In our lives, we spend so much of our time standing in awe of things that we don't live in awe. Every morning when you get up, what's the first thing you do? Do you thank God for the day that you've been given? Do you look at what He's created? Do you just absorb it? Or do you take it in and it changes you so that your military bearing is exposed to others? If you work, do people know you're a Christian? Are only you a Christian on Sundays? Are you only a Christian from 10 to 12? And I'll leave 10 o'clock in there for the greeting time out front. Does your language change when you're here on Sunday? Does your patience change? Are you more patient on Sunday than you are during the week with people? You know, sometimes the people we work with can be very frustrating. Anybody relate to frustrating people? It's kind of the old adage, don't pray for patience. Right? You know that one, right? Don't pray for patience because you'll get an opportunity to learn it. Okay? But a lot of times those people that we deal with daily, that spend time with us, those are our examples to put on our military bearing of Christianity. To walk straight, to walk tall, to help them understand why I'm different than these other people. then the politicians, then the athletes. Now, I'm not discouraging that any of them weren't Christians. I'm just saying, living our lives in awe sends the message to those around us about Christ. I used to go down, Judy and I both, used to go down to Central Union Mission down in D.C. I don't know if you know of that. It's one of the missions. And the youth would go down there and we'd have a worship service and music and special music and singing for the men that came in. And in order to get a meal and have a bed for the night, they had to sit through a service. Seemed like fair trade. And I learned back then that in order to relate to people, you need to kind of help them on a physical layer, physical level. Does that make sense? In other words, I need to help them meet a physical need to help them on a spiritual basis. Praying and prayer is one of the most critical things you can do. But just praying about people won't necessarily save them. It takes an active role. Harry's asked us to do a couple of things this year. Does anybody remember what they are? Memorize Scripture. Bring a friend. Is that what you said? Pray more. And bring a friend. He asked us to do those three things. So I'm going to take a vote this morning because I told him I would. And I'm going to have everybody's name. Now, raise your hand. No, I'm not going to do that. Because I've fallen as well. So one thing I love about Baptist, we believe in backsliding. Because we fall down a lot. Even without snow, we fall down a lot. But who's there to help us? Who's there to give us a hand? We spend so much of our time not living in awe of God. A lot of people will be celebrating today. Watching the football game. It's too bad they don't play it on Saturday. Sunday's the Lord's Day. But they play it on Sunday. Sunday's become to mean very little to those in our world today. Sad. Maybe that's one thing you can pray for to change that. Be thankful every day. Every day is a blessing from God. Live in the wonder of it. I want to give you one more personal story that most of you know. I was in the Marine Corps. I was enlisted. I did one tour. I was in tanks. I was a tank commander. And I was at a conference this past summer in San Antonio, Texas, called DOTUS. It's the DOD Intelligence Symposium Conference. And the new director of the Defense Intelligence Agency is a man by the name of Lieutenant General Stewart. Lieutenant General Stewart is a 3-star Marine Corps general. Do you know how few there are in the Marine Corps? When I was in the Corps, we used to joke, somebody had to die just to get from private to PFC. So if you're military, you get that. If you're not, it's okay. Most other branches of the military, it had to deal more with the officers, right? Second lieutenant, first lieutenant, captain, you had to wait till somebody made a hole. So I turned to my boss in that conference, and General Stewart was speaking. When he got done, he came down off the stage, and several people ran up to talk to him. The room probably had, I don't know, 8,000 people in it. And I turned to my boss, and I said, I want to shake his hand. A 3-star Marine general. That's hard to relate. If you've been in the service, you understand what I'm talking about. But just the opportunity to shake his hand. Turns out, he joined the Marine Corps almost the same year I did. So he made 3 stars, and I was out at corporal. So, you know, between the two of us, I think he did all right. But to stand in awe of somebody that has achieved that in his military career. I didn't get to shake his hand. Maybe someday I will. Now, there's one other person I've mentioned this morning I would love to shake his hand, one of our previous presidents. I just think that would be awesome. But all of that pales in comparison to God. And sometimes it's easier for us as Christians to relate to people and things that we can see than someone who is omnipresent. We miss the point that He is with us of every step, of every day, of every second, of every minute, of every hour, of every week. So I'll leave you with a few thoughts this morning. Do you live in awe of God's glory every single day? Not just Sundays. Do you begin each day seeking the impact that God wants you to have on that specific day? Do the people you work with know from your actions that you are living in awe of God? Or are your thoughts consumed with questions of why? Why am I not happy? Why don't I have as much money as Larry Ellison? Why didn't I get to go into space? Why is there so much evil in this world? Why am I still here? Why is there so much corruption in our world? Why can't people just agree with me? It's one of Judy's favorites, but that's... With me, not with anybody else. Why can't RB just agree? Why is it so hard every day? Why is it so difficult for us to stand in awe of God and to live in awe of God, and so easy to stand in awe of man? I'll contend many of us live in awe of man. Live in awe of everything that God has provided and created. The more time spent in admiration, understanding, gratitude, and awe of God, the less time our humanistic desires can take us away from God. There are many examples in the Old Testament of prophets that lived in awe, and I've chosen one. I've already spoken of it earlier. I've chosen one in 1 Kings where Elijah took on the prophets of Baal. And in reading these verses, you get a sense of how Elijah lived in awe of God. 1 Kings 18. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me that these people may know that Thou art God and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is the God. An example of one who lived in awe of God. The prophet. There's many more examples you could read in the Old Testament. I hope when I pass, someone will say to someone else, he lived in awe of God. Not just standing in the shadows. And not just standing still. There's a gentleman I work with that every morning when I see him, I'll say, good morning. His name's Dennis. I'll say, good morning, Dennis. How are you doing? And Dennis always looks at me and says, living the dream. You can take that both ways. But living the dream, may we be living the dream in awe of God's majesty. We declare your majesty each and every day. The small stream in Arizona for centuries, has washed its way through the land and created the Grand Canyon. May we be the same as we live our lives in awe, each and every day to eat away at the evilness in this world for the glory of God. 1 Peter 4:16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Let us pray. Our Father, it is so easy to stand still and to stand in awe. You have called us out of the darkness and into the light that we may live in awe. May we proclaim that everywhere that we go, by our actions, by our words, and Father, by the way we communicate and embrace each other. For I would rather live in awe than stand in awe of man. We thank Thee for this time together this morning. And Father, we pray for those that are absent from us. May they receive Your message, and may they live their lives as well, living in awe of You. For we pray this through Your Son, our precious Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.